to everyone. I'm pleased to be with all of you this morning. I'm pleased and thankful to be your interim pastor, eager to learn from you and from God and how He is at work with us, through us, and around us. May I take a few minutes at the beginning of this message to invite you to join me in holding two principles that promote health and safety and healing in Jesus' church. First, I invite you to come directly to me as your pastor with any question or concern you have about me or what I have preached or what I am teaching. It's an invitation to just come directly to me. Please don't go to anyone else and talk with them about it. I will receive you, and I will be with us together in having Midway Community Covenant Church be as healthy as it can be. The second is I will regard it as loyalty to me when you come with any question or concern about me or the church. Please don't go to anyone else inside or outside the church. I invite you to come and talk with me and you won't have anything to fear. I will seek God. I will seek to listen. I will seek to pray and listen to the Lord on how I can improve and what He wants for His church. This is biblical. Going directly to the person in the church we may have a concern or issue with. It stops all gossip and fueling unhealthy relationships in Jesus' church. He really is the head of the church, and He gets to have us follow His biblical principles so that the church can be a safe place for church people and a safe place for unchurched people to enter in and find God's love and find our love for them. Thank you. I wanted to say that, and I'm not saying that because I have heard of anything going on. I just have a policy at the beginning of every interim pastorate or any pastorate or church plant that I've been a part of to directly say that. And it has proven healthy. It has brought health. And I would like to stop a minute here and just pray over any historical lingering issues or gossip or unhealthy conversations that have happened so that we are starting off together on just a clean footing. So may we pray. Lord, you know all things, and you are the head of your church. Lord, you see the history of this congregation from its beginning early vision of people who wanted to plant a church here. And you have been aware throughout all the years. And Lord, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for the ministry that has gone on here. And Lord, we would ask that you would cleanse and forgive and repair any place where we have spoken unrighteously about another person or not gone directly to them to work things out. Lord, where there's been misunderstanding when it could have just become clear by talking directly to the person. So I thank you now that in Jesus' name and by his authority, you have the power to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to set us on a clean foot, a clean footing together as we go together in your mission in Midway Covenant Church. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for that. We are continuing our study in the early church in the book of Acts of the Apostles. And today we are learning from Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. And I invite you to turn there in your Bibles. And I want to just share that I have anguished over this message and how it relates to us and how it relates to our culture in this time. There is a lot happening. What's fascinating is we film these on Tuesday, and it's 5 days till Sunday where you hear them, and so much is still happening in our culture. What is evident in our passage today is that it points out opposition and scandal and power plays against Christians and Jesus' church from outside the church. What is the main issue? The main issue in these 12 verses is that Peter and John are teaching the Jewish people about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. They are teaching this in Jesus' name. Remember the healing just outside the gate, beautiful, and they go inside and a large crowd is gathered around them, and Peter and John know that Jesus has risen from the dead and that he's Lord of all. And so they're teaching the people who have come running into the temple courts, and they get quite a negative reaction from the Jewish leaders who do not believe in the resurrection of the dead, namely the Sadducees, who had control of the temple area. They had power that they wanted to hang on to, even while they were under Roman rule. The Romans had charge of their vestments. The priests had to go into the praetorium to get their robes and their vestments. That's how much authority the Romans had. Israel is occupied. The issue is resurrection from the dead in Jesus' name. I want to share the story of my ordination mentor, Jerry Reed. He and his wife, Nancy, were first missionaries in Colombia and Mexico. And Jerry met a couple in a very remote part of Colombia where he learned when he was visiting them that the wife of this couple had died. But she and her husband told Jerry the story of her sickness and death, and then about her husband's prayer for her. What she was experiencing was a coming out of her body, fully alive, with no pain, and she found herself walking with Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "I love the children very much." And she said, "Yes, Lord, She was the one who worked with the children in this very remote area, was teaching them about the love of Jesus for them. At the same time, as she is reporting having this conversation with Jesus, her husband is at her bedside. She is gone. And he's kneeling down and he's praying and saying, Lord, we need her for the ministry of the children. Lord, if it's your will, would you send her back? Because the children need her. And she's being asked by Jesus, I could send you back if you are willing to continue to serve the children. And she reports looking at Jesus into his face and seeing the love on his face. And she said, yes, Lord, I am willing. And there is the husband on his knees, fervently praying, and he hears a gasp. And his wife is breathing rhythmically. And they have some very, very tender moments together as they tell each other what they had experienced. And Jerry was deeply touched by this story. And since he was my ordination mentor, I got to hear all about it. Can we see injustice at work in Peter and John's arrest by the priest, the captain of the temple guards, and the Sadducees in verse 3? They were seized. What was their crime? There's no real crime. The issue was that they were teaching the people about the resurrection from the dead in Jesus' name. I'll try to throw in a little humor here. One contemporary pastor complained that he did not seem to be having the same effect as the apostles or Paul. He said to a friend, many places where the apostles or Paul went, there were riots. Wherever I go, they serve me tea. Have we, the church, become so attached to our culture that we don't stand out as Jesus' church? Does our love for one another draw the attention and the gaze of others not familiar with Jesus and Christianity? Have we accepted current injustices in our culture that we don't speak up and are not listened to? There is lots of trouble in the book of Acts with the apostles and with Paul and with Barnabas. Here in our text today, Peter and John were boldly proclaiming the truth of the resurrection hope in the person, the work, the name of Jesus Christ, and they were doing it right in the temple courts. This greatly irritated and disturbed the religious leaders, so the arrest happens in verse 3. And it is as if Peter and John were being profiled for their honest teaching, which did not agree with the Jewish religious leaders' beliefs. The next day, when Peter and John were brought out and questioned by the rulers and elders and the teachers, they asked this. It's in verse 7. By what power or by what name did you do this healing? By what power or by what name did you do this healing? Have you ever been seized by persons in authority and questions for something you said or you did that was not even criminal? Rather, it was an act of kindness and healing. In the Evangelical Covenant Church, quite some years ago, they started taking trips called Sankofa trips, and they started with covenant pastors. I happened to get in on the very first one. It was a situation where we stayed on a bus 3 nights and 4 days, traveling to the south to see the sites of racial riots and unjust, untold issues over the last 400 years. That was in 1990 that I went. Sankofa is an African word that means to go back in order to go forward, to look at the past injustices and confess them so that we can go forward and where we can provide restitution and go forward in peace and harmony with all people. On our trip, we visited the Black church where white planted a bomb. It went off during the Sunday school hour and 4 little girls were killed, with many others wounded. We visited jails where 98 and 99% of the persons were Black. On and on, we saw the fear and inequality that our African Americans, brothers and sisters lived in. We watched movies on the bus and discussed them. Difficult movies about racism. Maybe you saw Remembering the Titans. It was one that I remember we saw. In these situations, some people had power, mostly the whites, and others did not. When I returned to Chicago, I went into a Home Depot, and it was as if I had been blind for years. I went in, and as I looked at the employees of this Home Depot, I could not find one white employee. They were all persons of different color. And I hadn't seen it before. I just lived in my white understanding of a white world. Peter and John were experiencing persecution for being devoted to Jesus. They had been with Jesus, whom the Jewish religious leaders tried to get rid of. And what was it about? Power. The temple religious leaders did not want to share power, nor did they understand that God's power is righteous and humble. It uses humility. So verse 7 again, by what power or name did you do this? And Peter, who's filled with the Holy Spirit in verses 8 through 12, he says, Peter said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. And then they say, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, but he has become the capstone, the foundation. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven or on earth by which we human beings may be saved. Peter's words are clear, they're strong, they're biblical, they're bold. No other name, no other religion, no other power in or around the temple courts brought salvation. It was an exclusive claim. But Peter was speaking truth. He says, you crucified Jesus, but God raised him from the dead. Now, Jesus is the place where God is building his new temple. Not a temple made of stones and mortar, but the community of his church in and through us as we walk following Jesus as he leads, as we walk in humility with one another, as we walk his way. And he implements his kingdom ministry through us. I know it's not popular in our culture to claim there is only one way. Only one way to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But this is what the Bible upholds. It is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. And we are to do the best we can at obeying and following him as his church. I pray we stay together. And I welcome any comments directly to me. May we pray. Lord, would you use this text and these words of Scripture to cause us to be the church that you want us to be? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.